The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's Voice from China with Brock Silvers, the Managing Director of Kaiyuan Capital. And Brock joins us live all the way from Shanghai. Well, with economic growth in China weakening to its slowest pace in nearly three decades, thousands of Chinese workers are holding small-scale protests and strikes to fight efforts by businesses to withhold compensation and cut hours. And the authorities have responded with a sustained campaign to rein in the protests and most recently detained several prominent activists in the southern city of Shenzhen late last month. Well, Brock, which sectors of the workforce are carrying out these protests? And the New York Times article which carried the story mentioned those working in factories, construction and transport.
Well, good afternoon, guys. Look, worker dissatisfaction and protest is certainly a growing phenomenon here. It's not yet really widespread, but it is growing. For, I'd say, I don't know, 30-plus years, the Chinese economic growth model encouraged farmers to urbanize, you know, move to the cities, work in the factories at the construction sites. And that model was great for a long time. It brought historically unprecedented prosperity, but it's now broken, or at least the cycle has ended. And those sectors cited are probably right. Factories, construction, transport, that's at the front of the list. But if the slowdown continues and deepens, especially over the coming 6 months or so, that list can only expand. So the list may be right, but it also may only be the beginning.
Brock, I'm just curious about some of the newer industries, for example, food delivery companies and ride sharing. Were they affected by the protests? Were they involved?
Well, let's distinguish between the sectors hurt by the slow and the sectors that are simply being a bit mismanaged. You know, heavy industry in the downturn, the first in more than a generation, and that's why we have sort of factory workers and construction laborers all facing hard times. Now, in the transport sector, taxis, ride-sharing, delivery men, this is suffering from a bit of policy. Taxi markets are disrupted by Uber and then Didi. Delivery sector has to compete with loss-leading Meituan Dianping. Both have been impacted by the nonsensical bike-sharing sector, which, by the way, has to make a dollar. All of these sectors haven't been well regulated, with the authorities fumbling a bit. And unfortunately for China, the downturn and the regulatory missteps are all impacting at once.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brock, have the activists seen any success in getting their demands met?
Well, yes and no. The government is trying in many ways to be receptive and responsive. They're certainly having plenty of local meetings, and Beijing has stated clearly in it that all accounts are to be brought current by the end of the year. But this is a tough problem to solve. You know, it's not something that Beijing can simply decree to be resolved. The downturn is real, and unpaid wages and lowered hours generally stem from a lack of cash or a lack of profit. The only real success for these workers is going to be when the economy revives. That's when workers are really going to see some demands met, but probably not until then.
With Brock Silvers, he's the Managing Director of Kaiyuan Capital, speaking to us from Shanghai. Meanwhile, Bloomberg has reported that not all sectors are hit by China's economic slowdown. While companies like Apple, Caterpillar and Volkswagen have warned about softness in China, others are sounding more bullish. That includes fashion brands like Ralph Lauren, which reported revenue in China growing by 19% last quarter, and Paris-based luxury giant LVMH, among others, also upbeat about business. So what does this reveal about consumer habits, especially among the affluent Chinese amid the country's declining economic growth?
Well, the thing to keep in mind is the economy is slowing, but it still isn't recessionary. There is growth, it's just slower growth. So big-ticket spending has tanked, including autos, industrials, capital investment. But the slowdown hasn't really trickled down, and the middle class continues to spend, and thus Ralph Lauren can continue to post great numbers. But if the slowdown picks up momentum, this can't last. Either the economy picks up or middle class spending will decrease, and I think that maybe by the end of the second quarter, we'll probably have some insight into that. Which way it will go?
Well, the Chinese government produces less data than other major nations, we know. And they use public assistance that can make it hard to assess the real health of demand. Can you shed some light on the truth behind the numbers and what figures investors should rely on instead?
Well, this is one of my real pet peeves. You know, that much of Chinese economic data is simply inaccurate, and a lot is done and published in the service of politics. My rule of thumb is the situation may be worse than stated. It's never better than stated. I personally don't trust anything from the State Bureau of Statistics. That's the epicenter of data misstatement. For example, I'd say GDP growth right now is probably in the 1.5% to 3% range, not the 6.5% range. Caixin media data is generally better, and I'll pay more attention to the Caixin PMI than I will to the State Bureau PMI. Corporate earnings can be a good measure, but it's still also a little bit risky. Many are restated or still a bit unreliable. And smaller cap earnings, very suspect. I'm telling you, data integrity in China is a serious and growing issue here.
Some great insights here from Brock Silvers here on The Curve, Managing Director of Kaiyun Capital, speaking to us from Shanghai. Upstart e-commerce company Pinduoduo filed to sell more than 50,000 shares in a secondary offering that could raise about $1.5 billion after the company's public debut last year. In a stock market filing earlier this week, it said it intends to issue some 37 million new shares while stockholders sell about 14.8 million. Can you tell us more about the company? It is Pinduoduo. How does it measure up compared to its bigger rivals, Alibaba and JD.com?
Well, Pinduoduo is an e-commerce company. They see tremendous growth right now, and they're trying furiously to keep pace with Alibaba and JD.com, the two sector titans. It had an IPO about 6 months ago. Prior to the IPO, it was mostly known for selling sort of fake goods online to third-tier city customers. But it's found some new growth now post-IPO in so-called group buying in partnership with WeChat, similar to Groupon in the U.S., but tied to the WeChat infrastructure. It's still a minor player compared to Alibaba, which is a monolith like Amazon in the U.S., except Alibaba is still profitable and witnessing its own growth, so there's still a real gap between the two companies.
Okay, do you think it will reach its target of $1.5 billion? I mean, according to TechCrunch, Pinduoduo is not a profitable enterprise. I mean, since going public in July 2018, the company endured a net loss of nearly $1 billion in its second quarter and over $150 million in its fourth quarter. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical about the secondary offering, which I think may find tepid market support. You know, first, the company is actually somewhat unattractive to many investors, you know, including myself. It's never earned a penny and has lost $1 billion since its IPO from last summer. 6 months after the IPO, we need another $1 billion raised. And the CEO is prone to, I think, somewhat airy announcements about a business model that may take a decade to come to fruition. I'm not sure at $1 billion a year that we can afford that. The problem is the model is only driven partly by profit, according to the CEO. Look, the lockup period is now over. Many of the initial institutional IPO investors are exiting. That's one long line of red flags for me, and I think I would advise clients to look elsewhere.
Some good advice there from Brock Silvers. Always good to speak to the Managing Director of Kaiyun Capital from Shanghai. Brock, all the best for the Year of the Pig ahead.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.